107, opening the doors to endless possibility in the pursuit of love, peace, and happiness with your host, Dr. Rafika.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my goodness, I am so grateful that we are actually connected this time. As you know, we've had some technical difficulties in the past, but welcome to the Keys 107 Network, where we open doors to endless possibilities in the pursuit of love, peace, and happiness. I am your host, Dr. Rafika. Thank you for being so patient with us. We had to navigate some serious Blog Talk things, and they were very cooperative and helpful and helping us work out whatever the problem was, but it wasn't on our end, it was on their end, so I don't know what it is. We have an interesting show for you today. We are going to explore ways of being a culture of safety in a personal and a public space, featuring our special guest, Tony Aaliyah Watts, who is the CEO and the founder of Precision Safety Consulting, LLC, based in New York. But before Ms. Watts joins us, and I have to ask her about that, Ms. Watts, before she joins us, Dr. Tia is here to give us the healthy tip of the day, and she's focusing on perspectives, which is most appropriate for this show. We will be right back.
It's time for the healthy tip of the day, presented by Tech Tools for Life, and the Fluffs present the alphabet.
This is Dr. Atiyah with the health tip of the day. Today I would like to tackle one of the most crucial questions of all. How well are you taking care of yourself? I want to ask you that question again. How well are you taking care of yourself? You know, in the hustle and bustle of life, amidst the post-it notes and endless to-do lists, it's easy to lose sight of our own well-being. Sure, we know the drill. Enough sleep, staying hydrated, wholesome meals, work-life balance, and nurturing healthy relationships that's free from toxicity. But here's the real query. How well are you truly caring for yourself? You see, many strive for better health by ticking all the boxes, yet they forget a fundamental aspect, the essence of who they are. It's like renovating a house without fixing the foundation. Sure, you might eat better, hydrate, and improve relationships, but if you haven't reconnected to your core, that inner child that's been weathered by years of challenges, true wellness remains elusive. Taking care of yourself is more than a surface-level checklist. It's about tending to the depths of your being. It's about acknowledging and healing the wounds of that inner child, that little person within you whose voice may have been silenced or ignored for too long. Without nurturing that part of yourself, any change you might make will only be a fleeting solution. So in your pursuit of health and happiness, remember, caring for yourself means embracing and nurturing the core of who you are beyond the visible. It's about recognizing that healing the inner self is not just an addition to your checklist, but the essence of true well-being. Take a moment today to reconnect with yourself. Listen to that inner voice and offer it the care and attention it deserves. Because ultimately, taking care of yourself means taking care of the very essence that makes you, you. This is Dr. Atiyah, and this has been your health tip for the day. If you would like to reach out to me, feel free to send an email to atiyahkm@gmail.com. That's atiyahkm@gmail.com. You can also visit my website at dratiyahsenegal.com. That's dratiyahsenegal.com. Or you can connect with me on Facebook.com/dratiyahsenegal, and doctor spelled out on Facebook. Until next time, remember to give yourself the care and love you deserve.
Now back to the Keys 107.
Well, if that wasn't on point, thank you, Dr. Atiya. As always, you've given us much to think about. Perspectives, huh? So this is the perfect segue into our featured topic of building a healthy safety culture in private and corporate environments with Ms. Watts. Now, let me give you a little insight into who Tony Alia Watts is. Tony Alia Watts is the CEO and the founder of Precision Safety Consulting, LLC, a company on a mission to encourage, educate, empower, and promote a positive safety culture change in private and corporate environments, coupled with a vision driven by her passion to collaboratively support organizations' desire for improvements for healthy working and living spaces. And there's just so much more. She's going to give her website out at the end of the show. So when you are ready and you want to find out more, you can go to her website. Let's bring her in. Ms. Watts, your mic is live. Check in and welcome to the Keys 107 Network. And thank you so much for squeezing some of your time to talk to us about this very important topic.
Oh, awesome. I just want to make sure, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Good evening, and it is an honor to be with you this evening. Oh, I'm still getting over that healthy tip. I had to take some notes right there. That was wonderful.
Yes.
But thank you so much for that awesome introduction. Yes, my name is Tony Lee Watts, and I'm a professional safety program manager with over 25 years of occupational health and safety experience. After years as a public servant for New York City and New York State, I've been committed to providing communities and the public with tools to keep their homes, families, and businesses safe and free from safety hazards. Whether personally or professionally, I've seen my greatest successes when I can hone into the connection with people, understanding their situations, their challenges, their needs, their end goal, where they want to see themselves, their business, their family. I know what drives me to connect with people and mm-hmm. provide them with these tools to keep them and their family safe. I know it comes from my upbringing. I was raised in an environment that focused on health and environmental protection. my grandmother was a pharmacist, so every time you turned around, make sure you clean that, make sure you sanitize that. If you sneeze in, make sure you cover your mouth. Oh, my goodness. So as all the things that it seemed like we had to talk about in the pandemic and remind people, I was like,
that sounds like some COVID protocols, if you ask me.
And that's what I'm saying. So when you grow up like that, you come in the house, the first thing you do is wash your hands. I'm like, oh, y'all weren't doing that? Oh, okay. So on top of that, my mother instilled in me this passion for protecting the environment. She was putting out, obviously, as a child, I was like, she's crazy. I'm like, who cares? There's trees everywhere. And she would go on and on about if you keep cutting down the trees, the erosion is going down and that people are dumping things in the water. And I'm like, why can't she just sit down and, like, watch TV? And as I got older, I was like, look what's happening. Look at what's happening to our earth, what's happening to our land. So, and not to manage our crops, and the chemicals that are, oh my goodness. So there was nowhere for me to go. I grew up with these amazing women focusing my attention on giving back. And I grew up with the belief that we have a commitment to protect ourselves, neighbors, and the environment. So again, as I mentioned, you know, professionally, I've served the city of New York as a health inspector, industrial hygienist, environmental auditor. These are just a couple things. But I work with regulations compliance, in addition to labor regulations.
Mm-hmm.
This fostered a need for me to support businesses and individuals that are committed to having a healthy safety culture for their families and their employees. Now, businesses, large or small, I understand and I want to believe that you have a genuine care for your employees and you want to keep them safe. And at the same time, there's the other side of the table that If you don't, there's regulatory fines. So I get it. I understand both sides. People have asked me to come out before they open a business just to do the inspection before the building department gets there to make sure they haven't missed anything. These are things that they're important, but I understand businesses, you got to look at the dollars too. But again, caring for and training your employees is your first step, because if they know you are committed to creating a safe culture, and you put that positive safety culture in front of them and constantly remind them, they're going to embrace it. One, because they have no choice. When we're looking in private and corporate, it's the same thing at home. But get ahead of myself. So PSC has been my brainchild for many years. And a few years ago, someone put my name in. I don't know if it was a lot. I have no idea. But I ended up in this intense training in change management. And it hit me. Yeah, I said, I can do this, because I realized that I have a greater ability to meet people where they are in their circumstances with their challenges and considerations and consideration of their ultimate goal and guide them to create a positive safety culture where it's in their private or corporate environment. But just as people, as you in education, people learn different. When people have to change, and most people are uncomfortable with change, that's where change management comes in. So when people, whether you're dealing with your employees and you're trying to set out a new safety protocol, or you're at home and you have young children that are growing up and you want to encourage them to learn and understand how important it is for them to be safe, whether it's wearing the helmet when they go on the bike, young adults learning to drive. Now, if you drive like a speed demon, I can pretty much guarantee your child is going to drive like a speed demon. So when your child sees that you are focused on, no, we're going to take care and we're going to be careful for ourselves and the other people on the road, most likely they're going to do that. Why? Because you're their example, whether you're in the corporate or private environment. So the question, Dr. Rafika.
Well, wait, just hold that thought, and please don't forget it. I just want to sort of shape in the minds of myself and our listeners, what do you mean by creating a culture of safety? And before you answer, let me give out the number, because some people are listening on their computer and they may want to call in. The number is 515-602-9760. And if you want to weigh in on the conversation or speak to Ms. Watts, press the number 1 on your keypad. Okay, now please, just give us sort of like an overview of what creating a culture of safety means. Because in my opinion, I mean, in my thoughts, when I walk into a environment, whether I'm in a store, if I go to the subway, if I go to work, if I'm home, I'm safe. But what does a culture of safety mean?
Yeah, and as soon as you said that, I was like, I mean, how many times? Well, I mean, we can call up the local fire department, and they'll show up, and everybody in that house thought they were safe, and now what? So creating a safe environment or safety, or creating a positive safety culture, is embracing and creating an environment that equips people with the information necessary and the knowledge necessary to identify hazards, react, and mitigate any risks that are real. So it's a package. You can't just, Johnny, don't touch the stove because it's hot. No, you have to enforce that. You have to explain. Not saying that everyone has to be spoken to as like a child, but I'm giving an example that when you're creating an environment, you have to give people the tools, the knowledge, and which I'm going to go through, the steps that we as a trainer, a safety trainer, when we are teaching or training in a workforce environment, or as sometimes I go out into the community, there's a steps that we go through so that you get all the components necessary to give your employees or the people in your home or your surroundings the tools that they need to identify, again, react, and mitigate risks. That's how you create a positive safety culture.
Okay, so that sounds like it's corporate. Let's talk about in the home.
So
these three things you said, identify, react, and mitigate. How do I apply that in my house?
Okay, so example, and please forgive me, I'm just going to use little Johnny. Why? Because that's the name that popped in my head. So little Johnny's outside playing, and he runs in the house and says, Mom, Dad, you know there's these wires on the side of the house? You know, I don't know, but I saw them. And one, little Johnny identified something doesn't look right. He came inside and he reacted and he told his mother and father. And he knows that one of them is going to go outside and fix that because we've got frayed wires. Because he has been trained that, you know, this doesn't look like this. Something's not right. I don't know what it is, but I know I need to tell somebody because that's the culture in the home that you created. If something doesn't look right, like we say out there in, you know, transportation, if you see something, say something. When you create that environment in your home, whether it's a child, a young adult, or a full-grown adult, if they see something and they're like, okay, I think there needs some, I smell gas. There you go. Okay, we've identified there's a problem. Now we're going to, somebody is going to pick up that phone, I'm assuming, and call the gas company. They're going to come out, shut it off, find the leak, whatever it is. This is how you create a positive safety culture in your home. Where, and again, as I go through like the steps that we train people, whether it's in corporate or home, it's the same. The tools are the same. But these are the things that you want to do to embrace a positive safety culture and get empower people, whether, like I said, corporate or personal, to embrace the culture that you've created.
So we're creating cultures sometimes subconsciously.
Yes.
And yes, that could be, and if we're not knowing that we're creating a negative culture of safety, because we're only going by our prior knowledge, by what we were taught, and maybe like we are finding out today that some of the chemicals that we use to clean cause other problems within our bodies. But
yeah,
if mom always used that solvent or that cleaner, then most likely we're going to go to the store and buy that when we're on our own as well. So we've created a culture of negativism. So what do you, so when you go into these trainings and you're telling somebody, it's like, I'm a mom, I have a bunch of children, and I'm in your training and you're saying identify, react, and mitigate. Now you just lost me because I what are you talking about? But we're doing these things. My point is that we're doing these things all the time anyway. A child comes in the house and they're bleeding, we identify what the problem is. We see where the blood is coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we react. But we try to react calmly because your reaction can cause or trigger another culture,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so let me stop talking and let you take it.
Listen, you are right on the right trend, absolutely. But again, it's just as far as, and you said it perfectly, some of our culture, it's not even something that we created. It's something that we grew up in. And we can go, and I don't want to go too far off on food, but we went to chemicals and things like that. How many parents cooked with lard? And now we're like, oh my goodness, now everybody, there's no gluten, there's no this, and every, kids are allergic to everything. But back in the day, they were eating stuff, things are different. So when you go to an environment, so one of the places I went to, I was asked to come out to, it was like a senior center. And when I walk into a location, I'm looking at their signage, how they're addressed safety. The perfect example was they have these beautiful new floors, but when it rains, they're so beautiful, but they get slippery immediately. Immediately, signage has to come up. There's signs on the door. Put your umbrella over here. I'm seeing how they are addressing potential hazards immediately. Or are they just sitting back and these seasoned individuals are just coming in and they're just trying to hold on to the walls because the floor is slippery. So I can see how you are addressing safety. Do you have signage up? Do you have all sorts of things that are letting people know, is there a safety? This is where the fire extinguisher is. This is the first aid. It's located over here. There's a sign. Businesses, when you walk in the door, and I say this only because even in my house, it's very in the forefront of your, even in my car, there's a first aid kit. But again, this is me. I'm a little special. But I encourage people that, especially if you have small children, one of the trainings I do is infant CPR training, which I've done for pregnant women. So that when they have this little one, you know, and CPR is one of those trainings that we do that it is just to maintain until the professionals show up. But at least you have the tools. So when you walk into somebody's small business or even their home and they're saying, you know, I'm trying, you're looking around, I'm picking up things immediately. And I had an example for later on, but I mean, like I said, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I see what you're, the question, when I say it's the same in corporate and in home, I'm saying the premise is the same. And if you believe in that a positive safety culture is what you want in your environment, but those of us that came up slightly old school, everything starts at home. So when you go to work, if you're the manager or you're the foreman, and in the maintenance shop, they got tools all over it, they got bottles with no labels on it, and you walk by and don't say anything, you have just told your whole workforce that you don't care. And if you don't care, they don't care. Did I lose you there? Because I know I can't go.
No,
I can do safety all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
No, I know, but when you said like simple things like a signage, where my mind went with that was, is signage a law or is it a culture? Like, is it a culture, a healthy culture of safety, or is it law? That's law says, and that's why the environment, the space that you're in, puts the sign there because the law says. So is it legal, is it law driven, or is it culture driven?
So now you're talking about, you're not talking about exit sites. You're talking like the
no, I'm commenting on your scenario of the wet floor and the sign.
Oh yes. Okay. So that in a workforce, in a corporate environment under OSHA, you are supposed to remove hazards. That's considered a slip and fall hazard. So if you're going to get out there with a mop, and even if you mop it, it's going to be a little damp, so you put a sign. That's considered avoiding a slip and fall hazard. So yes, if somebody fell, if one of your workers fell and there was no sign, this and that, and they can call, depending on who they are, if they're state agencies, they're going to call PESH. If it's another agent, they're going to call OSHA. OSHA can come down. They're going to do an investigation, and they're going to go, well, wait a minute. What did you do to mitigate this problem? And the worker said, I walked in here. I didn't even know the floor was wet. Next thing I know, it was on my back. The owner gets that violation.
Okay.
So to say, is it a law that says you can't have what floors? No, but there is a regulation that says that you can't you have to mitigate slip and fall hazards.
And is it called slip and fall hazards?
There's a whole section. Just like there's ladder safety, there's slip and fall. That, yes, there's a whole section.
Wow. I never knew. So I think we can go into our conversation about just how to build this safety culture in private and corporate environments. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And I'm very excited that the fundraiser for the CAPA, Community Awareness for Progressive Positive Action, based in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, is having their fundraiser coming up Memorial Day weekend. So they've joined the Keys 107, and the Keys 107 is now their media partner. And we're pretty excited about that. So hold on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Keys 107 with Dr. Rafika.
The first of our family is clouds up in the sky. Keeping the earth and oh, you will be alright. They'll teach you your ABCs and your red, blues, and greens. Fluff for head to help to learn to breathe.
The Fluff with MC Alphabet is available on Amazon.com and on Kindle. So get your copy today. For more information, go to www.thefluffffamily.com.
Back by popular demand, coming to the Community Arts Center, the legendary Stylistics featuring the original lead singer, Russell Tompkins Jr. The sounds of Sexy Soul with the Stylistics and special guest appearance by Eddie Holman. Tickets are on sale now at the Community Arts Center in Williamsport. Call the box office at 570-326-2424 or visit caclive.com. Back by popular demand, the Stylistics with original lead singer Russell Tompkins Jr. and special guest Eddie Holman at the Community Arts Center Friday, May 24th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. All proceeds benefit Kappa Youth Program. Get your tickets while they last. Sponsored by Rick Mahunsky Goldsmith and Penn Strategies.
Now back to the Keys 107.
And I want to go back to that Stylistics fundraiser, or I should say the Kappa fundraiser. They are advertising a 2-for-1 sale. So if you buy one ticket, you get another ticket free, and they are going off. Tickets are almost sold out, so get your tickets today. And I know a lot of people who are in New York and out surrounding areas are saying, I can't make it to Williamsport. It's not a problem. You can make a donation. Buy a ticket for somebody. This is a wonderful after-school program. Okay, enough about the CAPA. I'm so excited, but let's get back to Ms. Toni Aaliyah Watts, who is the CEO of Precision Safety Consulting. And we're talking about cultures of safety in the work environment and in the home environment. So I think before we were going to commercial break, you were getting ready to outline. You made several references as we were talking. You're going to give it to us now. How can we create this culture? You know, my earbud keeps dropping out of my ear, and I don't want to, like, squeeze it because, you know, sometimes when you squeeze those earbuds, you disconnect. So
disconnect.
If you hear me moving, that's what's going on, okay?
Okay, I was going to ask you later, but okay, okay. So the question that you posed previously when you told me that you wanted me to come on, and I said, you know, like I said, I can talk about safety all day, every day, and twice on Sundays. So the question that I got was how to build a healthy safety culture in private and corporate environments. So as a professional safety trainer, we've got lots of acronyms, so many acronyms. But the one we use most frequently when we're training novice, we use LEADER and break it down. So that's the one that we target because it's familiar for everyone. And the goal is to empower individuals to be engaged safety leaders. So I'll go through this sort of briefly, but it's, again, it touches on everything that you really want to have in your tool belt when you're trying to create a positive safety culture. So L stands for lead by example, which I've given some examples before. You know, whether you're at work, at home, you want to make safety one of your core values. You want to demonstrate what it means to have a positive attitude about safety. And all the way down to when you come in from outside, wash your hands. But for many of us in a home, like on mine, you come in here, take your shoes off. You know, this is what you create your environment at home and what makes you feel comfortable. And like Dr. Rafika said, safe. When you feel, I don't feel comfortable coming in and sitting down on my bed when I just got off the subway. That's just me. Okay. But it's never going to happen. I grew up in a household. When you come in, you take those outside clothes off. You've got pollen on it. God knows what. That's the way my house always runs. So in the workplace, very similar. What the environment that you want to create, you have to lead by example. I go right back to my example of that foreman who's just walking through his maintenance shop and not saying anything with tools sitting down, and you've got containers that don't have labels against. And yes, that is a code violation, just in case you don't know. If you have air, what do they call it? The canisters, and they are not in a cage. Yes, you cannot have them just sitting out there. And then you've got the welders over there, and you've got the, but no, all of this bad, all bad. And if you're walking around and you say nothing, that tells your workforce you don't care, and I can guarantee you they don't care. So the next letter would be E, and I've said it before, and I'm going to continue to encourage this because this is how you give people or you train them to embrace a positive safety culture. You empower your people, whether it's your family members or your team members. You empower them. You encourage them to feel safe to bring up safety concerns or potential hazards, like little Johnny. We also have, and this comes up a lot in the workplace, we will actually write up what we call, quote-unquote, near misses. Now, somebody saw something, and they said, wait a minute, if we had not caught it, someone definitely would have been hurt. It didn't happen. We don't have to write a long report about it, but we call that a near miss. This happens at home all the time. You left the knife pointing in the wrong direction. Somebody, it happens all the time. But if you catch it, we consider it a near miss. But a near miss is almost as important as when someone is hurt, because again, it could have happened. So near misses in our mind are just as important. Moving on, there would be A stands for being an active listener. That seems like something it should have been, that should be a given. Just go right back to my little buddy, little Johnny. Now, if he comes running in the house, Dad's doing the dishes. You know, I got to switch up the roles a little bit. So Dad's doing dishes. Mom is planning out her grocery list. He comes in. Nobody pays him any attention. Neighbor comes over to drop off something and touches the wires and gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say you're going to create a positive safety culture, whether it's at home or in the workplace, you have got to be prepared to be an active listener. And again, if it comes back to be a quote-unquote near miss, you still want to hear it because it could have been a hazard. You avoided it, but you still want to hear it. And you want people to feel and comfortable enough to know that you're open to hear it, and you don't ever want to create an environment where they say, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything because maybe they're going to think that I'm paddling. You don't want that kind of environment. If you are in a position, whether you're a parent, foreman, manager, whatever it is, and you've decided, listen, this is important for all of us. We work together. This is our space. You have to be prepared to hear it all. The next two letters, D and E, develop others in ways to create a safe environment. When we say develop, we're talking about the training. And subsequent to the training, you want to observe. Most workplaces, you have to do an annual right to know. There's a whole bunch of stuff that the law says your employees have a right to know. All of that, and they make you do that to cover them. So if you decide for some reason you want to sniff the ink from the copy sheet, they want to be able to say when you are laid out on the floor, did Bob do the right to train? Oh, he did. He did the right to know training. Okay. Because that's coming back on Bob. But by law, they have to make sure they told you, don't smell the ink in the cop. Don't do that. Just don't do that. You know, if you see something, the exit signs are lit up, which they're supposed to be. If they're not, this is where you go. In the case of a fire, they're obligated. At home, I know many people, especially when they have young children, they'll come up with a procedure. I don't know how often they practice it because we didn't do it in my house. Thank God we never had a fire. But the kids will know exactly where to go to meet up. This is where we go. If there's a fire or a smoke condition, we all know to go to the back of the yard and the corner and blah, blah, blah. I know lots of families that do that, and it's a wonderful practice. But that's how you tell your children. So that just like Dr. Rafika, you mentioned, sometimes we came into bad conditions, but it just was the culture. So
right.
We didn't know. So when
we
see families, yeah, so when families tell, when I talk to families and they say, no, we practice, so they know which neighbor to go to if something happens or they feel, somebody might be in the house and the parents are home, they go to so-and-so. These are all safety precautions that you set up to make yourself and your family feel comfortable and safe. Just like at work, we have fire drills, and they're always at the worst time. But
we don't do fire drills in the home.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Some people do. I have some families that do. And like I said, I've spoken to families. And I was like, wow, my family might not have even cared about me. I don't know. But they will have, I don't know how often. I didn't ask them. But they said, yes, we'll do a fire drill. And they know where to go in the backyard or they go to the shed or whatever. And I'm always amazed. I'm like, that's awesome. But these people really care. And honestly, I have to say, a lot of times either the father's a fireman or something, or, you know, a grandfather was. But the point is, this is a culture that they created. And they keep it going so the next generation understands how important it is. So that was my whole point there. And R stands for recognize. Recognize and acknowledge folks for going above and beyond to maintain the safety culture that you've cultivated. It's much like, and understand, people like to be recognized. They may not say anything like, no, I was just doing my job. They like to be recognized. If you have drivers that didn't go through the whole year and didn't get one accident, didn't damage the truck, bus, train, whatever, and they get a pin or a jacket or something, they love it because, one, they get their name up there. You know, we put it on the screens at work and things like that, but people like to be encouraged. It's an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it's an incentive. And again, for business owners, you care about your employees. I know you do. But you also don't want those fines. So hard to acknowledge Bob when he did a great job. You, listen, you no accidents. You made sure all your passengers are onboarding and offboarding carefully. Is it hard? It's not that hard. And when your child does something, or a child, young adult, I'll go back to the driving example, and you see them checking all their mirrors all the time. They do some parking. And in your mind, you're thinking, please don't jack up my car. But when you see them doing all the right things, recognize them, because then they're going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it becomes, and the one thing we talk about in the mental health first aid training, behaviors become habits. So when you recognize somebody's behavior favorably, that will become a habit. Hope I didn't lose you there, but that's one of the things we always have up on the screen in quotes. Behaviors become habits.
Mm-hmm.
And in any kind of creating a safety culture, a positive safety culture, if you encourage someone and you recognize their positive safety behaviors, I guarantee, seen it for over 20 years, it will become a habit. That's going to be Bob. He's going to be the top safety guy for like the next couple of months. And somebody else is like, I want that jacket. I want that pin too. Next thing you know, nobody wants any injury reports. They're like, no, because I saw when Bob got it. Recognize people, whether they're your coworkers, your employees, your family. Everybody wants to be recognized. And again, it becomes a positive habit. So that covers what we as safety trainers teach others that are trying to enhance their safety cultures, wherever they are, either at home or at work. So the other things I know I had wanted to touch on, which I said a couple of times, but I'm just bringing it back home, the common safety strategies that are common in private and corporate. The same thing doesn't change. For example, ladder safety. They say the right tool for the right job. Same thing with ladder safety. I did an OSHA stand down years ago. OSHA does stand downs every now and then. They'll do fall protection, but they'll do these every now and again to bring things to the forefront, to make you look at your policies, to make sure that they're up to date. So they did a ladder safety stand down a couple of years ago. And what we learned from it is that sometimes people are grabbing the wrong ladder for a job. You know, there are A mm-hmm. ladders. There's different kind of ladders. Mm-hmm. These are things that you want to explain and go over to refresh, not to mention the maintenance of ladders. Ladders are not made for eternity. They have a lifespan. And these are they do. You know, hey, the manufacturers who say, I'm going to cover you for this many years until the point that there's this much damage. And then if you take that ladder and use it and you break your neck, we are not going to say anything about it. We're not liable. And how many times have I seen people use the wrong ladder at home? Or, listen, I've been guilty. I have. That you really should get a ladder, but you know what? Maybe I just grab this crate because I can just reach up there, and next thing you know, you're on your back. So, and what people tend to forget is ladder safety includes 3 points of contact at all times. You want to paint. You can't paint and hold the paint at the same time because then you've only got 2 points to get. It's got to be feet and a hand, two hands and a foot, 3 points of contact at all times. My favorite example for any trainings, whether I'm doing it in somebody's small business, a home, or in the workplace, is fire extinguishers. Okay, so here I'm going to throw in a fun fact. So, Dr. Rafika, come on now. You gave me the floor.
Go ahead. Give me the fun fact.
There you go. So, Dr. Rafika, if you can answer this, our next meal is on me. Okay, fun fact. if a fire extinguisher is less than 40 pounds, do you know the proper way to mount it in the workplace?
So you gave the perfect example for something that I've been thinking about throughout this conversation. The average person, I'm going to speak about myself.
Okay.
I know nothing about a fire extinguisher. So I never even had an apartment that had a fire extinguisher. So I'm thinking, is the landlord required? I don't want you to answer this because I know it's going to take us into another conversation, but so certain things
okay.
have to be law and have to be regulated. Like, does a fire extinguisher, is it required to have a fire extinguisher in the house? So now, if I went out and I bought a fire extinguisher, Ms. Watts, I would not know how to use it because I've never been trained.
Absolutely. That's where I come in.
That's my point.
So are you saying this to say that you might not know the answer to the fun fact? Because I got
the answer. No, I don't. I don't know your fun fact answer.
That's why it made it fun. It was actually fake for me, but that's okay. So the answer is it should be it should be hung so that the top of the fire extinguisher is not more than 5 feet from the ground.
Oh.
Yeah. Then.
So and then when you buy a fire extinguisher, when you go to the store and you buy a fire extinguisher, is the salesperson required to give you this information?
No, because if you are getting one for your home, I'm not even going to make it a fun fact, although I think it's kind of fun. At home, most homes should have, and if you write it down if you need to, an ABC extinguisher. For most fires in the house, you would want to, there's different kind of fire extinguishers, you know, because you can't put the same thing on oil that you can't. I mean, so for most home hazards, an ABC extinguisher is what you would want to have. So
what is the ABC extinguisher?
The ABC, like the first three letters of the alphabet, this ABC extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
It covers
most.
It's just an extinguisher that covers, like, say you'll have a grease fire. Most of the things that'll happen in a house. If you're in, say, if you're in like a warehouse, you want a fire extinguisher. If you've got certain chemicals in there, you might have to have a different kind of extinguisher. So most homes, you can have that typical one. So I just don't want to leave off on my fun fact. The other side of the fun fact is if the fire extinguisher is over 40 pounds, just so you know, the carrying handle should be about 3 feet from the floor. And it's like I said, that's workplace. But like I said, that was my fun fact. But the one thing I did want to bring up as far as for the home extinguishers, I've seen it time and time again. I've been guilty of it until I worked for the fire department, and then I was like, okay, we're never doing this again. Most of the time, if homes do have a fire extinguisher, where is it? Usually under the sink, somewhere in the corner, behind the cleaning process, the Pine Sol, the Clorox. It's usually dirty, dusty, and it's not charged. So what most people don't think, but they'll tell you, I have a fire extinguisher. If you haven't touched that fire extinguisher and it's got dust on it, there's a good chance that it is not charged. So if you do have an emergency, it's probably not going to work. So one, back to your point, if you're going to have one, you should have the right one, and two, you should know how to use it.
You should know how to use
it. We do those trainings. I mean, I do those trainings all the time because once I worked for the fire department, I realized I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to use them. So I could go on with fire extinguishers.
I'm a rally back. Right, we were talking about the common safety strategies.
Yes. And are we going right into the situation? Because I'm looking at the time.
I know that. I had a feeling you were. We're going to break for commercial again. And when we come back, we're going to go into situation awareness. And then we're going to wrap up this segment because I have a feeling that I'm going to need to invite you back. Everybody hold tight. I would advise you all to go get your pen and your paper. And you know, if you're not taking notes already, get ready to take notes because this is going to blow your mind, this whole conversation about just what is situational awareness. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Keys 107 with Dr. Rafika.
Back by popular demand, coming to the Community Arts Center, the legendary Stylistics featuring the original lead singer, Russell Tompkins Jr. The sounds of Sexy Soul with the Stylistics and special guest appearance by Eddie Holman. Tickets are on sale now at the Community Arts Center in Williamsport. Call the box office at 570-326-2424 or visit caclive.com. Back by popular demand, the Stylistics with original lead singer Russell Tompkins Jr. and special guest Eddie Holman at the Community Arts Center Friday, May 24th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. All proceeds benefit Kappa Youth Program. Get your tickets while they last. Sponsored by Rick Mahunsky Goldsmith and Penn Strategies.
The first are a family of clouds up in the sky. Keeping the earth and the universe be all right. They'll teach your ABCs and your echoes and beats. Fluff for health and health and learn.
The Fluff. Presents the Alphabet is available on Amazon.com and on Kindle. But get your copy today. For more information, go to www.thefluffffamily.com.
Now back to the Keys 107.
Before we go any further, I just want to take a moment and thank all of the callers who are listening to our show via their telephones. We really appreciate you and we welcome you to the Keys 107, some of the numbers I don't recognize. And to all the people who are listening via your computer, your tablet, while you drive or while you work, or that could be a problem, right, Leah? Just thank you all for... for tuning in to this very important topic. And I've been holding my pen waiting to start taking notes on this situation awareness part because as I've been doing some research on it, this is a very interesting topic. So let's go. Can you start by defining just what is situational awareness?
So situational awareness is this huge phrase that everybody drops everywhere now. And I wanted to, one, start with the broadest term and then bring it down to how it pertains to what we do at PSC. So situational awareness is defined, and I'm going to have to read this because there's a lot of words. In its broadest term, it is defined as the understanding of an environment, its elements, and how it changes with respect to time or other factors. Now, if that's not broad, I don't know what to tell you, because anything can fall under the situation, the wars in another country. We're aware of it. It is a situation. It's going on right now, and it changes from time to time, day to day. Oh, with other factors, other countries jump in it. We're aware that falls under situational awareness. So to narrow it down as at TSC, we narrow this definition down for our clients, whereas we look at situational awareness as it involves being able to comprehend a given circumstance, gathering relevant information, analyzing it, and making informed decisions to successfully address any potential risks, hazards, or events that might occur. That actually is more words, but it makes more sense pertaining to what we do. We work with, to make that connection with individuals, employers, employees, so that we give them the ability to have the tools to comprehend all the things that are going on in a particular circumstance, get the necessary information that they need to pull from it so they can analyze the next steps and make informed decisions. Now, in short, situational awareness is critical for decision making, especially when it comes to making safe choices. So just because now I know I've got to wrap up, but I'm going to focus on just some of our services as it pertains to situational awareness. On the point of our CPR training, the CPR training provides participants with the tools to recognize someone who's in distress and trains them to perform emergency life-saving procedures when the heart stops or someone stops breathing until professionals can show up. But you have just enough training to keep this person, hopefully, alive until professionals show up. Because I won't go into all the training, but if anybody has done CPR training, the first thing you got to do, if nobody's around, is call 911. If somebody's around, tell them to call 911 and you start doing your CPR. Moving on, much like CPR training, mental health first aid training is an early intervention training that teaches participants how to assist and support others that may be experiencing a mental health or substance use challenge. And again, this is giving individuals tools to identify someone that may be having experiencing a situation where they may or may be in crisis or they need support, but also teaches them the tools to keep that person safe in addition to your personal safety, because your safety comes first, because if you're not safe, then both of y'all are messed up. So giving them tools to keep this person safe, that tells, we teach what to say, what not to say, depending on the circumstance, what to do, what to not do, considering the circumstance, until this person can be either directed to or professionals show up. Finally, which I think is almost a given, OSHA training. The OSHA training provides instructions to participants about how to stay safe at home or in the workplace and provides best practices depending on the particular location. So I've given several examples of, and many of these things were related to OSHA regulations, whether it's in home, fire extinguishers, ladders, or if it's in a workplace, chemical storage, water, wet floors. So OSHA training gives these kinds of tools for participants to understand their workplace to keep themselves and the people around them safe.
When I hear of situational awareness, I think about the environment and being present and being accountable to the environment that you're in at the time. And I think when we were talking about safety, and I was sort of thinking more so of the home, people can come to you for both. People can come to you for training with safety in the home or training with safety at the workplace. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So I guess an example of when a person would come to you for safety in the home is, let's say, a pregnant parent with the first child. They would have to baby-proof, that's the quote, the term we use, baby-proof their home. So having someone with your expertise to come in and help them look around and see what is a hazard, what could be a hazard, because sometimes the naked eye just doesn't pick it up, but because you're trained, you could say that that should be a little higher or something like that. Is that correct?
Yes, and we, at some point, if you visit our website, at some point we're going to be putting together, because you'll see recalls on these baby either toys or this, what's the latest thing, the little ball things, I forget what those little toy things, where mm-hmm. they became choking hazards. So we will be working up to having a newsletter. It is not going to be a whole, you know, magazine, but maybe a one-pager, just to keep people that are subscribing to our website and checking our website for things that have come out, say safety hazards, whether it's chemicals, toys, things like that, to, again, to create that situational awareness.
I think there's a little more that we need to cover on situational awareness, but we are pretty much out of time. I would like for you just to itemize and just give an overview of the services that your company provides.
So I packed a lot in the last couple of minutes, but I said we do provide adult and child CPR training, AED training, which also includes training for the Heimlich maneuver. We do the mental health first aid training. Right now it's adult, but we will be adding in adolescent mental health first aid training, because sounds like it should be about the same, but it's not. And finally, the OSHA training. Again, I've done the same training in small businesses, people's homes, and in workplace. So when people have reached out and say, can you come? I'm about to open up my restaurant. Can you come out here? I was a restaurant inspector for 3 years. I've done several just walkthroughs so they're aware of the regulations that fall under them, because sometimes you just cook well, get a property, and you just want to cook. But there's all of these other things that go in to making sure your plumbing is right and all of that. So we do all of that to make sure that everyone is in compliance. And again, to connect people, meet them where they are in their circumstances, and empower them with the information and the tools that they need to be confident, and their confidence is what brings about their success.
I don't know how you do all this stuff. This is a lot. I mean, I think, like, how do you narrow down workplace safety? I mean, I'm trying to avoid us going into another part of this conversation, but there's just so many questions I have in my mind. So we're going to have to bring you back, Ms. Watts. And earlier in the interview when I said to you, we got to talk about that, Ms. Watts, I wanted to ask you, is that what you prefer to be called, Ms. Watts?
Well, you and I are on a totally different level. But for everyone else, until I know you, yes, that is fine.
It's like, okay, Ms. Watts.
Our rest is paper. For everybody else, until I know you better, Ms. Watts is just fine. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so in the meantime, can you give out your contact information, your website address, your social media?
Okay. So, and I had everything in front of me, but that I know we are precision safety consulting at Gmail. We are at info@precisionsafetyconsulting.com. And if you have any questions, comments, please feel free to send it to info@precisionsafetyconsulting.com. And I will respond. And again, I have more, I can go on and on and on. But if you want to reach out and we can set aside some time to talk about what your needs are, what your concerns are, listen, this is what we're here for. And again, like I said, I like to meet individuals where they are so that we can give you the tools they need to be successful. Now,
okay.
The other one, I don't have all my other ones in front of me.
Okay.
I'm quickly
so
trying to,
your
I'm
website
trying to
is precisionsafetyconsulting.com.
Oh, I thought I did that one. I'm sorry. No, I said to Gmail. I'm sorry. Oh, too much in my head.
So if people want to contact you, they can go straight to your website. And we're going to have you back, because I think there's going to be a lot more to unpack, especially with this situation, situational awareness, and I just don't know why that is like really like egging me on. It's like I got to know more about it. But well, I want to thank you so much, Tony Aaliyah Watts, CEO and founder of Precision Safety Consulting, LLC. Thank you for coming on our show tonight and the Keys 107. This is your home. You can come here anytime you want to because I know things, laws, and strategies are always changing. And anytime there's an update that needs, that the public needs to know about, please feel free to come back on and consider the Keys 107 your home.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much again. I'm honored to be here and for everyone listening. And I thank you. All I say will say have a good evening. Be kind, be well, and please be safe. Thank you so much.
Hold on for a moment. So as you know, it is time for us to go, but I want to let you know that we have two exciting shows coming up. We're going to honor some old school R&B. This is a grown folks show only. We're going to have Kevin Owens, who was one of the background singers and choreographer for Luther Vandross. He's also the author of the book So Amazing, which documents his over 20-year tour with Luther Vandross. He's coming on to talk about his new single and the song that Luther Vandross recorded with him for his album. Can you imagine being in the studio with Luther Vandross? I'll come on your song, Kevin. And then we have Billy Brown. Billy Brown is the lead singer of Ray Goodman and Brown, also known as The Moments. He has a new single out that is just going to make you cry. It's one of those kind of songs. He's coming here about the 20th of June, and Kevin Owens will be here in June as well. I am Dr. Rafika, Keys 107 Network. Thank you so much once again. And let me give a shout out to the staff at Blog Talk Radio. Staff at Blog Talk Radio for giving us a moment and getting the show going today. I so appreciate you. And this is it.
It's time to go. Thanks for tuning in. Connect with us on social media at The Keys 107 or email comments, questions, or just say hi at thekeys107network.com. And don't forget to share and tell all your friends about The Keys 107. Help is on the way.
Change has come, time to live life. We go.